So, Holy Lord, on Thee that with Thy beauty occupied, we elsewhere none may see. Fairer than all the earth-born race, perfect in comeliness art Thou. Replenished are Thy lips with grace, and full of love Thy tender heart. God ever blessed, we bow the knee and own all fullness dwells in Thee. Beautiful thoughts. And the object we have for our hearts can completely fill our hearts as nothing else can. I'd like to speak for a few minutes with the Lord's help on three little sections of Scripture, perhaps touch on a fourth. Number one would be found in Genesis chapter, I believe it's 37. Genesis chapter 37 and verse 3. Genesis 37 verse 3. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. Some of us work with colors, and I haven't looked into the typical teaching of all the colors. There's a few that we know and enjoy. We think of the green and how it's such a picture of peace, green pastures, and we think too of the purple, the royalty. We think of the blue, the heavenly color. We're going to come back to this portion. Please turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Israel called that coat that he made for his son, my son's coat. Now we're going to look at something else in connection with color. Ephesians chapter 4 and last part of verse 8. The unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship, or perhaps the dispensation of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world was hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers and heavenly places might be made known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, the multifaceted colors and beauties of God as seen in my church. My son's coat, beautiful. My church, Matthew 16, it says that. That's beautiful. Turn with me, please, to Genesis chapter 9, verse 8. And God said unto Noah and to his sons with him, saying, and I, behold, I establish my covenant with you, with your seed after you. Verse 11, I will establish my covenant with you, neither shall all flesh be cut off any more by the waters of the flood, of a flood, neither shall there any more be a flood to destroy the earth. And God said, this is the token of the covenant which I will make between me and you, and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations. I do set my bow. Beautiful. If you get up in an airplane and look down, you'll notice, as we did the other day, the bow isn't from horizon to horizon. It's a complete circle. That's God's picture. From our point of view, it's limited. It goes from horizon to horizon. But from God's point of view, it's a complete circle. When I think of Calvary's cross, I think of the darkest cloud that ever came over this world. And we think there at Calvary how that the white light of God's holiness was refracted off that cloud or the water droplets and so on, as nature has it. And what do you see? You see all the beauties of God developed, brought out. Splendor, every single color that there is in that rainbow. And in Joseph's coat of many colors, to the Father, he was everything. And in the church, now, the Lord Jesus has something special in this earth. It's his people, Christians, and they are displaying the beauties of the Lord Jesus Christ. They should be in this dark, dark world. I would like to start perhaps thinking of Joseph as the Lord Jesus coming down into this world, being sent of God the Father, going right down there into the prison. He was the keeper of the prison. The Lord Jesus, through death, destroyed him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and delivered them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. There was nothing that took place in the prison that he didn't have control over. And then, as the story goes and beautifully unravels, an exaltation at the end of it. But the Lord Jesus came down into this world seeking his brethren. And what did they do? They took him, put him in a pit. There was no water in that pit. Nothing for refreshment there. And they took that coat and they killed that animal and they smeared that beautiful coat in that blood. And then they took it to their father. Is this your son's coat? Not my brother's coat. Oh, he said, this is my son's coat. An evil beast hath devoured him. You know, as we think and contemplate our own lives, our own hearts, we're the evil beast. We're the evil beast. And so, using this little story here, the perfections and the beauties of Christ shining out in the life of our Lord Jesus Christ when he came down into this world. They put him down into that pit, and here comes merchant men bearing spice and balm. That's what Egypt wanted. Egypt wanted that, but when they pulled Joseph out of that pit and took him down there, now Egypt is going to get the spice and the balm, the comfort that they need. They didn't have it before, and they haven't had it since. As we look upon Joseph and these many characters, these many aspects of his life there in Egypt, how beautiful it is to see the Lord life paralleled, if we could put it that way. There's no failure written about Joseph. There's no failure written about our blessed Savior. And at the end of the story, there's lots we could talk about here, but we won't. At the end of the story, he was exalted, he was extolled, and he was made very, very high. And maybe we'll just try to find that place where they put those beautiful clothes on. All right, 41, Genesis 41. And verse 41. This is what's going to be someday. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, See, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh took off his ring from his hand and put it upon Joseph's hand and arrayed him in vestures of fine linen and put a gold chain about his neck. And he made him ride in the second chariot which he had, and they cried before him, Bow, let's just say bow. A man is going to have to bow. He's going to have to bow and bend that body of his and that those knees of his. Yes, bow the knee. And he made him ruler over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I am Pharaoh, and without thee shall no man lift up his hand or foot in all the land of Egypt. Well, if we took up the story of Joseph, we would see those many, many beautiful pictures, colors, and what they represent in the life of the Lord Jesus as he walked through this world. Now, it's certainly a subject for meditation. Coming over here to Ephesians chapter 3, to the intent, Ephesians chapter 3, and verse 10. You know, there was a time when Joseph was forgotten. There was a time when Joseph was forgotten. He said, Remember me when it shall be well with thee. He was forgotten 2 years beyond that when he said that. Now we have the church here, and it's nice to see, as we've already mentioned, that God says, Lord Jesus said, it's my church. It's my church. And it was my son's coat. It was my bow in the clouds. It says here, I'll read it again, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be made known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. Joseph's life was a picture to those around him here on earth. This life that you're leading as a believer in the Lord Jesus is a picture to principalities and powers in heavenly places. And the bow, the beauties of Christ displayed on an earth that's been judged. The coming day, perhaps pictured in, as I see it anyway, as I see it there in Genesis chapter 9, where the beauties of Christ are going to be displayed. Is there a dark background? A terrible dark background. There's a black background that's so dark, that's yet coming, when this world will be judged, and that blessed Lord Jesus, whose name has been banned. Like Samuel Rutherford said, I have borne scorn and hatred. I have borne wrong and shame. Earth's proud ones have reproached me for Christ's thrice blessed name. Where God his seal set fairest, they've stamped their foulest brand. But judgment shines like noonday from Emmanuel's land. There's coming a time, it's like it. There's an expression in the Old Testament that he's going to wipe this earth like a man wipes a dish. Yes, put it this way, reverently, speaking reverently, the custodian is going to get his mop. And this world, for that blessed name, has been brought down, down, down. God is going to see to it that it's exalted and extolled and be very high. And now in the church, you and I, with God's help, by the Spirit, can display the beauties of the Lord Jesus Christ. In a coming day, let's read again Genesis chapter 9. This is his bow. Men are going to bow their knees in that day. But this is his bow. Verse 13, I do set my bow. It's his bow. A beautiful display of all the colors, the glories of Christ in the cloud. That's a dark thing, that cloud. But there was judgment day is coming, and this will be on the other side of judgment. The sun will, you might say, the pure light of God's righteous holiness will shine back, and his God is known by the judgment that he executeth. The Lord is known by the judgment that he executeth. And this world will then know for sure that he was here cleaning things up. And he's going to look upon it. I will look upon it. That's what God does. Now God looks upon the blood, the precious blood of his dear son, and then for our salvation. And then he's going to look down at this renewed earth, and it's going to be an everlasting covenant indeed with this earth, if I could put it in those terms. And that day, we've said it already, there's going to be vestures of fine linen, pure and white. Now look at, let's just look at Ezekiel chapter 1. There's more coming from for our view. Ezekiel chapter 1 and verse 26. The bow isn't mentioned very much in the Word of God. But what is mentioned is beautiful. Verse 26. I can't explain these things. But I stand back, as it were, fall upon my face, like it says at the end of this little portion we're going to read here. Ezekiel chapter 1 and verse 26, above the firmament, that expansion there was over their heads, was the likeness of a throne, as the appearance of a sapphire stone. And upon the likeness of the throne was the likeness as the appearance of a man above upon it. And I saw as the color of amber and as the appearance of fire round about within it, from the appearance of his loins even upward and from the appearance of his loins even downward. And I saw as it were the appearance of fire and had a brightness round about, as the appearance of the bow that is in the cloud in the day of rain. So was the appearance of the brightness round about. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. And when I saw it, I fell upon my face, and I heard a voice of one that spake. Revelation chapter 5. As we think of the Lord Jesus in this world, going through this world, living that beautiful life, and then being received up, being taken up, and he went up into heaven, exalted. Then the church is here, displaying the beauties of Christ in our everyday lives, before this poor dark world. And then in a coming day, this world will see that the glories of Christ again after the earth has been judged. And then for us, worthy, chapter 5, Revelation 5, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power, riches, and wisdom, and strength, and honor, and glory, and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven, are they witnessing by our lives today in the church the manifold, multifaceted beauties and wisdom of Christ? Every creature which is in heaven and on earth, under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne, and upon and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever.